championships, 27 SEC titles, 131 first-team All-Americans, 70 postseason appearances, 39 postseason victories. This is Alabama football. And this is Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
We have had a lot of fun today, and it will continue here with Chris Landry, myself, Ryan Fowler, James Ludeman switches into the chair. Kendall, Stephanie, Tommy, and Bryant hit the road. We kicked him out of here. We're going to entertain you for the next hour with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. If you love football, you're going to love LandryFootball.com. He provides a unique perspective. A lot of guys out here analyze it from the way that they see it, and so does Chris, but he's got the experience to back it up. Coach, scout, and administrator. He analyzes football from a lot of different angles, and we go to Chris Landry. Chris Landry, welcome into Alabama Tradition. I hope you're having a great day.
I am doing well. I hope you guys are doing well and staying warm, and hope the roads are passable. And well, I know everybody's struggling right now with this cold weather.
Yeah, well, it's currently like 24 degrees here in Tuscaloosa. The Big Ten doesn't really have to deal with national champions that often, and neither do we have to deal with snow. So we're kind of... Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's something that they don't have to deal with a lot, and neither do we. But we don't do very well with snow and cold and driving. We're not very good at driving anyway. Then you put ice on the ground, and it's twice as bad.
I just got off done with another show. I'm part of the Landry Football Network and with a guy from New Jersey, and it's 50 degrees over there, which that doesn't sound right. What? Say what? Is 50? Yeah, it's 50. Now, they're expecting a boatload of snow, I think, Thursday. So, yeah, it's quite the storm. I mean, just seeing places like Texas, people ask me, what's it like? Well, we've been kind of iced in for 2 days because – I'm sure you guys are like us. We're probably some of the worst. We don't do anything with it. We just wait till it melts because it's not going to last very long. So we don't have all the sand trucks and the salt trucks and all that. You just, you know, go get some milk and bread, stay in the house for a couple of days, and then it's all going to melt in two days.
How many games have you broken down on film-wise today? I bet you've just stayed in front of
it. I have been knocking it out. In fact, what I was working today is updating. Doing a few things, but it's interesting, and I didn't do this for this reason, but I just kind of wrapped up fully analyzing this past recruiting class. You know, we've had a few straggler signings, but at some point you got to kind of put it to bed, and you know, you don't want to leave guys out. So, you know, obviously you know where Alabama ranks, but kind of analyzing Alabama's class and every other class, and then kind of putting the ranking in for the SEC and doing them by conference. So doing that as well as initial free agent lists in the NFL, that's up on the board. So very busy day, a lot of film work done today. Of course, I don't, like I said, most days I don't go out anyway. My office is in my home, but this has been the last 2 days have been kind of fun. And just looking outside my office window and seeing the icicles on the trees, but I think it's going to warm up a little bit tomorrow.
So. Well, and I think we're going to get up in the 40s, but I think we're also going to get another dose of this weather in the South, or at least because I have friends of mine over in Mississippi, and they've been hit. They had colder weather prior to yesterday's arrival. It was pretty much in the 20s all weekend over there in the area that I was looking at, and they're going to get hit with another round of this. So some of the folks have got another round and another round coming, and but it gives us a chance to kind of talk football. We were joking. You know this guy better than we do. We were joking yesterday, but the University of Alabama officially closed. No operations whatsoever. What did Nick Saban do with a day off?
I don't know. Tell me, do you know?
Well, no.
you want me to speculate.
Well, and what we did is we did an entire show about this. So we kind of had Nick Saban sitting in a recliner with one of those Huggies on, watching something like a movie or something all day. And we just had fun with it. I know that that's not true. That's so far from the truth. He didn't take a day off, but the University of Alabama did close for the entire day. No official operations.
Well, he has an office in the house, and it has the video machine capability. So it's, you know, it's digital. It used to be the old Betacam machines back in his LSU days and all that. But so basically he can look at film. And so whatever he wants. So even though there may not have been people there, the ability to go in and click and watch recruiting film, any film that he wants, opponents of, you know, this past year, looking more stuff from this past year, whatever he decided to do, what was on his agenda to work on, he was working on it. I can pretty much guarantee that's what he did, and it involved film and in his office in the home.
Yeah, and I imagine I used to sit beside. I know this is kind of crazy, but I used to sit beside Nick Saban's laptop inside the press box. To my right, the coaches were a little further to my right, but there was an empty chair where Nick Saban's laptop bag sat, and it had his little name tag on it. And so finally I asked the guy after like 2 years of sitting beside Nick Saban's laptop bag, I said, hey, what is this for? He said, this is actually his laptop. We download the game. We run it home. Okay, this is where there's no dead time. In other words, somebody else can do it and be it there efficient. He said when he pulls into his garage, it is already set up where he can watch the game that was just played. In other words, analyze it into a breakdown of what you – so the laptop was there. A guy hurried it back to his house. It was sitting there when he pulled in the parking lot. Nick Saban in his house. So it's like already set up, ready to go. It's pretty crazy.
Correct. And on a road game, it is done the same way, but it is ready for his seat in the plane when he gets there.
No downtime. No waste of time. That 2 minutes is
– No, he doesn't. And then he also – takes that laptop. So, you know, he doesn't, people ask me, you know, probably the biggest adjustment that he'd have to make if he did retire would be, I don't know when the last time the guy's ever been on a commercial flight. I mean, I don't think it's ever happened since he's been in Tuscaloosa, because it's all private planes. I mean, even if it's like a personal thing and they go to the, you know, like Bernie, I mean, he's not going through, hey, remove your belt and shoes, Mr. You know, he's not. But when he goes on a recruiting trip, so he gets on a plane and he's flying somewhere, that laptop is, he's got something on there. So he's got a plane. It may be recruiting film. It may be something that he's looking at that he wants to work on. It may be something they're thinking about adding on third down, defending bunch passes in the red zone, looking at certain things, you know, of an opponent, like, that they do really well and some version, and that is all, he has access to all that. And so when he's getting on a plane to fly to wherever he is, and he knows about how long he will spend that time on the plane doing that. When he is driving somewhere, somebody's driving him. So he is calling, using the phone to call recruits, or he can, the same thing, be able to look at film right there in his laptop. So he has that, doesn't, other than the few little things that he's got to click, he doesn't know, you know, he doesn't really fool with it. And it's just like when he's in that office or he's seen him doing interviews, he turns around from his desk and they've got, I guess you'd call it a credenza, that the desktop computer where all the, where he does all the video calls or Zoom calls to recruits and all that, that's all set up for him. So he can talk to old Ryan or whomever and do what he needs to do, or maybe doing an interview with a ESPN or something like that. When you see him do that, when he's in the office, he's doing it right there on that credenza. That's why you turn it around and you can see that, you see that door all the way in the back. That's to the, as you're looking at it, would be all the way to the right. As you come in, he's got one of those remote controls that you have that you close your garage, or in my case, I got a gate that closes to the back end of my driveway. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a little remote control you press and it closes. He's got one of those for his door in his office so that if somebody comes into his office is so darn big, he doesn't want to get up and like go and close the door. He can just press the button and the door closes behind him.
And that's 2 minutes that he can break down Auburn for 2021.
Well, yeah, you just have to sit. Old Ryan, come visit him, and you don't have to sit there and waste time to go and you do it. Now, if he's meeting with somebody, I don't know if he still does it, but at 6 o'clock on Fridays is when he meets with recruits of other sports. He gives, I think, about 45 minutes. Let's just say a gymnast comes in for a visit, or a basketball player, or a baseball player, or a golfer. They will bring him in, that student athlete, the gymnast or two or whatever, and they'll come in and they'll come visit Nick Saban in the office, and he will meet with them like from 6 to 6:45, and you know, we'll talk to them, get to know them, you know, where they're from and all that kind of stuff and all the great things they're doing at Alabama. And he meets with them. If you go like by the door, when you open it up, there's kind of like a sitting area, couch, and like some sitting chairs. And on the, I guess you call it a coffee table, there's the case with all the championship rings, because he doesn't wear them. They're all in that case. And so he actually will meet with, you know, like I said, so you got a golfer or a gymnast or a swimmer or whatever that will come in if they can, that's his schedule. He'll meet with them. And I'm sure he will find some other time if that's not a meet, but that's his time that he'll do that. And then, you know, after that is when he'll go to, you know, to the hotel. And we're talking about even during the season, believe it or not. So he'll do that. So they're getting ready to play, but he'll take half an hour, 45 minutes to do that. And then the policeman will take him to the hotel, even on a home, not on a home game, on a road game, obviously that wouldn't happen, because probably you're not going to have a recruit coming in for another sport. They usually like to bring those in on home games. And of course on home Friday nights, he wouldn't be there.
Well, and I'll add something to this, and I don't want to get too much of his personal life, but I will tell you this, when he goes to church on Sunday morning, he drives Miss Terry, and they go to church right there across from his office. And the actual driver meets him after church. He pulls across to the football building. He gets out, goes to his office. The driver drives Miss Terry back to their home, and then drives the Mercedes back where Nick Saban can drive it home. And so it's like a lot of work. But I mean, And I guess that really gives you a second to understand, to be a wife of a football coach, you got to be a pretty special individual. Miss Terry certainly is.
She loves it. And I tell folks all the time, there are two people that Alabama fans need to thank for Nick being the head coach at Alabama. Mal Moore is one of them. His stick-to-itiveness. Mal was the one from the outside, but Terry Saban was the reason why. If it were up to Nick, he would have stayed with the Dolphins. Terry really pushed that hard and really worked it. And even at the very end, he told her, look, I got to sit down and talk to Wayne. And if Wayne wants – Wayne Huizenga, that is, late Wayne Huizenga, is passed now, former owner of the Dolphins. He was a guy that – formed Blockbuster. Remember when they used to have those video thing, Blockbuster stores? He was very, very entrepreneurial. He says if Wayne wants him to stay, I'm not. And it was Wayne that said, look, Nick, if you want to go, go. We'll be fine. It's, you know, and that's, but it was Terry that basically double teamed with Mal to get him to go to, she didn't like, I think she liked the house. They had a nice place in Fort Lauderdale Lakes, but she didn't like that. She liked being Miss First Lady of LSU football, First Lady of Alabama. She liked that. She liked that she was a part of it. You're not a part of it as an NFL coach. You know, that's just, it's not, you don't have recruiting weekends. You don't have that. You have some of that. You may meet a wife of a player on a free agent visit, but it's not like it is where you have the the Bama bells or the, you know, whatever the little different functions. She loves that. So it's definitely very much a package deal, a partnership. But I say that all the time. You know, heck, I was, but when he was still working on Miami free agent stuff, I know, cause I was doing work with him for him. When and unbeknownst to me, Terry and Mal were working him, you know, Mal, God rest his soul, never gave up on it. And you just never know, huh? I mean, it just, but that's the real key. That's who you need to thank. You need to thank Terry, because Terry was is the one that's really responsible for him being there.
Well, and I'd love to be able to at some point, because she means so much to our community. She does a lot of the community service projects, is active in a lot of different ways. I've often said that I'd love to see, because we already have Stallings Drive, we got Bryant Drive, Wallace Wade Drive, some of the national championship coaches. At some point, I hope they'll rename a road and some way to contribute what Miss Terry has meant to this community. It's pretty amazing what she is able to do and a lot of things that she gives her time for. Chris, I got a text a couple of seconds ago. I'm gonna set this up. Somebody wanted to go back and go talk about the benefits of film, because you brought it up, and it really kind of slipped by me a little bit. But it said, back then when you were watching the beta tapes and now when you're watching the current tapes, is there true vantage, or is coaching really the same? The breakdown side, and then I want to get into self-scouting, because that's something that right now we're doing a lot of, working into the upcoming spring football. By the way, we're 60 days away from Alabama's A-Day, 200 days away from Alabama-Miami. We'll do a little self-scouting, talking about breaking it down, because sometimes we use verbiage, and even I don't really understand truly breaking down film. I'd like to go back and hit that for one of the listeners out there. We'll continue. That is Chris Landry. I'm Ryan Fowler. This is Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
You are listening to Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler. Your connection to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama Athletics on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Had a truck stop diner.
You know, when you just played just the music, it kind of gave me a set to kind of think about with Nick and Terry Saban. Okay, we see the success side of this, but see, we don't see the part when he first gets into coaching, because a lot of these guys are working their way up. And the same thing happened in Alabama. Maybe you're a GA. You know, you don't make a lot. I mean, I was a graduate assistant at Alabama, and I'm not talking about the athletic department, on the academic side. And I trust me, I'll tell you what I made. $1,100 a month being a grad student. No wonder I got in radio. Thank you, Lord.
Only you could take Zach Brown's colder weather and tie that back into Nick Saban. I know, only
I
you,
know,
Ryan.
But I think about the hard work. I mean, I think he coached 19 or 20 years before he ever got a head coaching job. So you see the highlight now, but then there's a lot of hard work to get to that point. And there's a lot of coaches right now that are working their way up. You know, they're coaching at Southern Mississippi, and they're a GA, and you're probably eating rice and potatoes and beans and just trying to make it. And so you see the highlight, but then you got to go through, and, you know, people got to be patient to get to the top of the mountain. Chris, I maybe add more to that conversation, but it is. We do think about Nick and Terry Saban, but we think about the coaches that kind of – and them that paved the way.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. You know, you're thinking about it. A couple of things come to mind, what you just said is it's – you need to put it in perspective, because, yeah, Nick – coach at Toledo and then went to Cleveland as an assistant, as a defense coordinator, and then Michigan State, and then obviously LSU, then the Dolphins, and before he ended up at Alabama. So for the folks that, and I know that a lot of people are critical of, say, Kirby Smart, he did it differently. He didn't have all those experiences. So a lot of the learning and trial by fire is what he's having to deal with right now. Oh, I granted he learned a lot from Nick Saban, but there's no substitution for all the trial and error experiences of being a head coach. And he's having to do that on a grand stage at a place like Georgia. And, you know, he's, I think, done a really good job. But because he hasn't won a title, some people are critical of him. That's the first thing they jumped out of me. The other thing is, you're right. You know, Nick and Terry weren't always, you know, rich, and all that came from, you know, hard work and upbringings. And I tell you a quick little story that I think your listeners are like. So it's our first playoffs in Cleveland with the Browns. And, you know, you get a part of a playoff share as a coach, and the playoff share that Nick won, he gave to Terry's mother and father to pay off their house.
Oh, wow.
And he did it by giving his father-in-law a Cleveland Browns jacket, and it had the check in an envelope in the pocket of the jacket. And so, you know, obviously wasn't, I mean, look, he was doing well, nowhere near what he's done since, but doing very well. But he's done an awful lot. And, you know, he has taken care of a lot of folks, not just the Knicks kids folks, but a lot of people that he knows in his family back in West Virginia he's taken care of. He's known as Brother, Brother Saban. Because his sister, when mom would call him for dinner, she'd always say, go get Brother. You know, Nick would just be out playing basketball, whatever, you know, playing whatever, playing sports, and she'd go call Brother. And so if you go around that Fairmont, West Virginia, the Monongahela River area, they know who Nick Saban is, but they don't know him as Nick Saban. They know him as Brother Saban, because that was his nickname, because that was his older sister always called him Brother.
Wow. What a neat story. You're sitting there telling me that the jacket story, I mean, that brings a smile to all of our face, because I think we all have dreams, right, of helping people out. And I asked Coach Saban, I mean, you know, at some point he's going to build the 18th house here. Just being able to give back and to be in that position where you can give back and help other people out. And, you know, he was asked about the other day about, you know, when he's going to leave coaching. And he said, you know, I really get a lot of helping people out. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's winning and he's a competitor. But there's also that byproduct that when you're making $11 million a year, you can afford to kind of help people out and bring smiles to other people's face.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I can really help a lot of people, do a lot of good, doing something that you like, doing it the way you like to do it. And I do think he'd really struggle with, you know, what would he do on a regular basis? I mean, he could do something else. He could probably spend more time maybe doing things to physically be out there to shake hands and do, but that's not really his thing. He's more of he likes what he's doing, and look, he can still make a lot of money and in his eyes, put things in place to where other people can benefit back home and, you know, back, you know, and certainly all aspects with kids and people that he's been able to help a lot, out, you know, there's the old story though. I don't know, if you know this, but you'll get a kick out of this. Nick tells the story one time that he and Terry are back in West Virginia and they're driving. I don't know exactly where, somewhere near their hometown. And they drive up by this, not a car dealership. And I don't know if they even have any full service stations anymore, like in the old days, but it's kind of like a service station. And they see a guy that they both know, that they grew up with. And it used to be Terry's boyfriend before she started going out with Nick. And he said, you see, if you'd have stuck with him, you'd be the wife of a filling station owner or whatever you call it. And she goes, no, if I married him, he might be the head coach at Alabama.
Oh, you gotta love it! You gotta love it.
How's that, huh? That's, but you take that. So yeah, there's one person that can put him in his place.
Well, my understanding is she controls the house, and I think he's okay with that. I mean, he told the players. He said, and I don't know if this is. Hopefully, this is not a bleep word. I don't think it is. But he goes, You know what? I got to get back in that building after this COVID, because inside that building, I give you guys H-E-double-L. He goes, inside this building, I'm taking all the H-E-double-L.
Well, you know, and the kids, you know, Kristen and Nicholas are grown, but when they were growing up in Baton Rouge here, they were in school. And so what Terry would do is in his desk in his office in Baton Rouge, in at home in Baton Rouge off Highland Road here, she would put in a manila envelope, like certain details. So he'd come home and it would be, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, it could be something as simple. Well, knowing how I was, you know, because Nicholas was trying a little bit. Nicholas is not doing good in math, Kristen made, what do you call the Girl Scouts or something? It'd be right. Whatever. She would keep him up and she'd go. And then that's why he would know. People might think that's sad, you know, but he'd come in late at 10 o'clock and he'd know that. And he'd pick a night. Like, I know in Cleveland Thursday night, he would always leave just a little bit early. And he'd play basketball with Nicholas Garnop. And then I know like in Baton Rouge, there's a certain night, but a certain show that Kristen liked, you know, was one of those shows, nighttime soap opera-ish type shows or whatever. One of those, I don't know which show it was, but that they would watch together every, I don't know, Thursday. So he would take like, you know, that hour or so that was a little bit different. Nicholas used to like play golf. So he'd take him out like on the open date week to hit balls or whatever. So he did everything he could to try to make it as much as normal as possible. But, you know, obviously the kids kind of grew up around the game. And I can remember Kristen when she was going to visit, she used to like to visit Sparty, which is the little Spartan mascot on Michigan State campus. And I was over there one time and she wanted to come over to the house. And so and anyway, we were he ends up on the phone and I'm there watching Kristen. She's running. I'm sitting there worried she's going to run into the street or something. I'm like, you know, she's a little bit of a wild hair then. She was, I don't know how old she was, but she was old enough to have a mind of her own, but not old enough to really know right from wrong. It's like, oh, you need to come back over here. You know, I got enough of this. There's a reason I don't have kids, Nick. You know,
people. It's perfect to tie back to the story that we're sitting here talking about, because you're talking about coaching and how much you can get done. And the question came from off the air was taking a look at the preciseness, because you don't have to worry about uploading or I guess you do, but somebody else does it for you, and how much, more manageable time. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, can you get more done as a coach, or is it still coaching? Oh, yeah. It's still the same way.
Yeah. Cause here's the thing that people may not know. So when we talk about looking at film, it's not the same film that you see, that you watch on TV. You're not looking at TV copy. TV copy is not useful to look at film and evaluate. You don't see what you need to see. The film is shot from two different angles, from the end zone tight, meaning there's cameras on both end zones that shoot behind the offensive line or behind your side. So if your defensive line is going one way and the offensive's going the other way, you've got cameras on both end zones. And you shoot a tight, what we call tight, meaning it zooms in on just the offensive line. So you can see the footwork, the hand placement. It doesn't follow the football. You're just looking at that. The same play is being shot from the sideline wide. So you see all 22. And what you see is what we call intercut, where the video staff will take each play and show it from two versions. So you'll see the same play from end zone wide and then tight. So you can look at it. Now, the offensive line and the defensive line coaches, they don't get that. They just only looking at the offense defensive line. The secondary coach and receiver, they're looking at just the wide. But other copies, what you have is you have what we call intercut, where you look at the same play both ways. And that's all done for you. The other thing you need to know is it's all in sequence. So, I mean, it's not in a sequential order of the play. It's it's an offensive cutout that's looking at every one of your offensive plays. And then it's also broken down by all first down plays, all second down plays, all third and shorts, all third and long, all red zone. So you can look at the entire game, but you're going to see just the first, your first offensive play, then your second one, then your third, then your fourth. You're not watching a play, then watching a punt, then watching the defense. You're watching offense all one after the other. Then defense, the same thing. Special teams, you watch all your kickoffs, all your punts, all your kickoff returns, all your punt returns, all your kick, you know, field goals, PATs, all your field goal, the PAT block. So what's good about that is you can begin to see tendencies because in addition to watching it all one after the other on that particular side of the ball, as I said, you can pull that out, give me all click of a button, give me all the third down defensive plays, and you can look at every third down defense you played one after the other. Well, you get a better feel when you're looking at one after the other as opposed to watching it and then, you know, 7-8 minutes later into the game, you see another third down. You follow me? So it's a better way to do it and be able to absorb what you're seeing. It's one after the other, and that's how you do it. You can also break it down to all by formations. You can break it down. There's a lot of things you can do because it's all digitized now. In the old days, it used to be 16-millimeter film where you had a master copy and then you had several what we call cut-ups, meaning I take a cut-up tape, and this is what I did when I was a youngster in coaching. You would literally cut and splice all the first down plays, all the second down plays, all the third down plays. Then you take, like I said, you literally manually had to cut the play out of a reel and make another reel to where you got all the third down plays in one. Then we went to the beta cam, which is not the same beta VHS. It was a specialized, the equipment was like $250,000 a piece to have it. Then now it's all digitized, so you can do all that. So you can, with the huddle tape and recruiting tape, you can see every play that a player played throughout his career. But if he's a defensive end, you're not going to sit there and watch a game and watch the whole tape start to finish. You're going to watch every play that that defensive lineman played. And, you know, so if he played some on offense, you will watch that, of course. But if he only played defensive end, you're not watching that whole game. You're watching the 52 plays he played in a game or whatever it was, and that's it. So you can get through things more specifically, whereas before you had to do a little bit more overreaching stuff, which is why, by the way, you have more people involved. Back when Coach Bryant was coaching, I mean, they'd show up, they'd have meetings at 9 o'clock in the morning, they talk a little bit about what happened at practice, they go over a few ideas, and they did all the stuff at practice. By the midway part of his coaching career, they began to shoot film of practice, and they looked at film. Prior to that, you didn't even do that. Coach Paul Brown was the first one to say, hey, we're going to tape practice, and we're going to watch it. Before that, guys just went out to practice and discussed a few things they were going to do, and you'd leave. And most coaches, a guy like Chuck Knoll, great coach, he and his staff left at 6. They had dinner with their wives every night at 6 o'clock, Coach Chuck Knoll and his family. Because, you know, you didn't have as much technology, therefore you didn't have as much at your disposal. Now that you got more technology, you think it's easy. Well, it's easier to get more access to information, but more stuff to study, more analytics. So now we can see exactly, you know, so it's actually created more work. But that's why things are so advanced today, because technology's allowed for it. More people involved to help you do that. And the same thing with recruiting and all the digitized way that you communicate. All that thing has made the world of football and the points around it change so much. Maybe for the better, but in some cases, maybe not as pure as it used to be.
We're talking to Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I think we should change the name. And I wrote down Football 101. But I think it would be more of an advanced class. So we'd go grad level, master's degree, Football 501, which is the first class in the 500 level side of things, because this is fun to be able to talk about that. When we come back, I want you to talk about LandryFootball.com and kind of get into this self-scout and trying to find a way to correct even perfection for Nick Saban. We'll talk about that and a lot more. This is LandryFootball.com. That's Chris Landry. I'm Ryan Fowler, Alabama tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Norman Osex.
Northport Power Equipment, the largest dealer in the Southeast for Husqvarna products on McFarland Boulevard, two blocks east of the Northport Civic Center. And right now, we are running that residential special on that Z248F. The Husqvarna residential zero-turn mower is back in stock and equipped with a heavy-duty fabricated mower deck that's greasable and serviceable, powered by that 21-horsepower Kawasaki engine for $28.99.95. That is only $66 a month using that 0% interest for 48 months financing. We talk about Northport Power Equipment, the Skag Commercial Mowers, the Echo Outdoor Power Equipment, a complete lineup of weed trimmers, the chainsaws, handheld blowers, backpack blowers, the pole saws, the walk mowers, rotting mowers, zero turn mowers for the residential consumer and the professional landscaper. It is Northport Power Equipment. And do ask about that 0% financing for 48 months. It is Bryant and Keith Ellis and Mr. Ellis, Northport Power Equipment, since 1996. They have been serving our community. Northport Power Equipment.
It's awesome. You're having a fun. Have some fun, man.
Talking Alabama Crimson Tide football on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All
right, so we welcome you right back into Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Chris, I don't want to wait to the last 2 minutes and talk about LandryFootball.com. Let's talk about it now, because we want to invite people to connect with everything that you guys are able to do there. LandryFootball.com. You got the TV side, the video side, the audio side with all the great podcasts, the written material as we lead into the NFL draft. No NFL combine this year. They're going to be doing it a different way. And you talked about that probably about a month ago of some hiccups that were coming down the pipe. But the evaluation continues and people are still looking for that great information. Talk about LandryFootball.com.
Well, yeah, it's one-stop shopping football. So if you like the game of football and you certainly want to maybe get a feel of the college game, the pro game, everything from recruiting to college football player and coaching and team analysis to the NFL draft to NFL player analysis, team analysis, coaching analysis, we got it all for you there. We cover it all like it does in the calendar year. During the season, we're breaking down the games. That's what you're watching. That's what we're doing. We're evaluating. As the season's the playing season ends, it's about evaluating, obviously, recruiting. And so right now, what is it in college that people are focusing on? Well, you just got a 2021 recruiting class done. What's your roster situation look like? I'm going to, as I mentioned earlier, not only got the recruiting stuff, I'm going to have a roster analysis of each school in each conference that I'm going to be putting out as a byproduct of what's coming back, what's coming in, and giving you a feel for that. And that's what we do there. We take the game from a coaching and scouting perspective, using that experience to bring it to you. So if you like football, you're going to love LandryFootball.com. It's very economical. I got something I put up there. You can check it out there. For example, if you're an NFL fan free agency, it's a free pulse. That's the do's and don'ts of NFL free agency. Understanding how free agency works, understanding that it's not what it's all cracked up to be, and what really is successful in free agency versus what is perceived to be as successful. What are you looking for? Why do you want a player that has 600 snaps, and if you don't pay them a certain amount of money? Those are little tips and things that we got for you. You can learn a lot about that. You can learn a lot how you evaluate players at both levels, and we think it makes the game more enjoyable. You can see the game from a different perspective. So check it out. We got a scouting season discount. It's less than $10 a month. And it's even cheaper than that if you take advantage of the year membership. So check it out today, LandryFootball.com. As Ryan said, you can listen to all the podcasts, the TV show, the Twitch TV channel, which we're on right now. So we really appreciate it, and we appreciate being on with you.
LandryFootball.com. I remember listening to a podcast where Chris broke down the hiring side of things. And I think I've referenced this before, but it's the amount of information. I don't think anybody else is doing what you're able to do. You take the experience that you have, combine it all into one, and then provide the analysis of your kind of opinion tied in together with all the news and headlines. Let me ask you about self-scouting season, because we talk about the scouting season discount that you can find there.
Right.
How much is spent in self-scouting, looking at, hey, listen, this is what we did. This is what we didn't do very good. Let's evaluate this before spring training gets here, where you can kind of work on cleaning some of those up and take some different approaches.
Absolutely. So you work in unison with, again, all these analysts, along with the coaches, position coaches and coordinators, to look at everything. And particularly when you got new coaches, you want to, you know, the new coaches have got to spend extra time watching film, right? Because they, the guys that are returning have already looked at that film. The new coaches haven't looked at that film and have to go and look at it. So they want to study everything. What did we do well? What didn't we do well? What do we need to get better at? What things would we like to do that we think can advance and make our running game better, our blocking scheme better, our routes better, our passing game better, our protections, certain routes better, whatever. You break down everything in detail, and you segment it towards the position coach, and they all have analysts that are helping them and working, and you try to bring it all together. And so what you try to do before spring practice is focus on, here are the things we need to work on the most this spring. And you come down where the head coach will say, look, this needs to be the focus. This is the main part of our spring practice. And it's always about getting better in every aspect. So you want to sharpen the things that you do well, but you want to really attack the things that you're not as good at and focus on that. So that's one part of self-scouting. Now, self-scouting also is something that you do during the season, your analysts do, so that it helps to break tendency. So during the season, let's say your percentage is that when you're in the red zone offensively, out of a certain formation, you may run to a certain side of the field behind a certain offensive line look. So maybe you will pull the left guard a little bit more. You have tendency. So you scout your team as if you were playing your team, meaning what do they do? What can we anticipate they're going to do in this certain situation? And you literally chart it and break it down. That's what breaking it down means. Look, that basically in the red zone, when we go spread and we go 3-by-1 and we throw to the slot guy, you know, 62% of the time, well, what we need to do is run that same thing, but go to the tight end or run it out of that look, because they're going to be anticipating that this is what they're going to do, because that's what they like to do in that situation. So we're going to give them that look. We're going to zig while they zag. We're going to get them to think, hey, yeah, this is their look that will indicate that they're going to do one thing, but we're going to do another. So that's a different aspect of self-scouting. So it's basically breaking your tendencies. You got to study your tendencies and you got to break them. But just like during the season, you're looking at the tendencies of what an opposing team does to line up and play against them, where they're doing the same thing you are. So if you can break your tendencies during the course of the season, that's important. So that's what you do during the season. This time of year, it's, as you just said, evaluating what has happened, what you have done, and then also factoring in maybe things that these new coaches, new wrinkles might want to bring in. And then with that, combining that with the teaching of what has been done in the past and how it might mesh or might not mesh. I mean, that's part of what it's all done. And as you go through spring practice, you kind of work on certain things a little bit more and focus on things a little bit more, other than just the normal things you do, but you might put extra emphasis on certain things. And that's the nuts and bolts of self-scouting or quality control. It's studying what you do and improving how you do it. And by the way, he challenges everybody to do that. The training staff, the weight room staff, the recruiting side. I mean, are we doing everything? Are we up to date on all the modern technology? He doesn't know how to turn a computer on. Well, he does know how to do that. Not much else, but everybody else better know how to do it. And so that it's all done and we're up to date on everything. If there's an edge and we don't have it, then we're falling behind. So he makes everybody go through the quality control aspect of it.
I mean, to work for Nick Saban's pretty incredible. We had a coach on last week who was part of the coaching meeting when they laid out the pandemic, and he talked about what they wanted from their coaches. And he said, we heard about the everything shutting down that evening. He said, when we went to home for the evening, he said, we came back 7:30 coaching meeting the next morning. He said they laid out a complete plan. He did with the pandemic of way they were going to handle it. And he looked at his staff and he said, by 12:30, I want to see your plan. And he said, they all went rushing back to their office, got everything done. And then they had to present what they thought that would be the best way to handle it. He said, then they organized it. And then they addressed the team at 2:30. So all this happened in about a 5.5-hour window, his presentation, the coach's presentation, and then they presented it to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just about, that's why you couldn't imagine anybody being better prepared for a pandemic year than Alabama. It was an edge for Alabama because they're prepared for everything and in anything that comes along because they have such a large staff to be able to pull all that together in a quicker fashion than most anybody would. So, yeah, how are we going to do that? And you pull the best ideas together and you put holes in it and you come together and say, this is what we're going to do. And you're going to combine different ideas. And it's just like, you know, when there's every year, there's going to be multiple guys leave on the coaching staff. Well, he took something that he did when Bill Belichick did for him when he got the Michigan State job and he was still defense coordinator of the Browns. Belichick, he had Art Modell hire a secretary that worked for the Browns, that was paid by the Browns, that was essentially Nick's conduit to Michigan State so that Nick didn't have to do anything. He could work with the Browns all day and that person would be the conduit. Well, he took that idea. And when Jimmy Mack got the job at Colorado State, Sark at Texas, and every other coach that's been there, he's done that. And so that person is not distracted. Well, why? Well, if they're going to lose coaches every year, if every one of their coaches is going to be up for coaching jobs, you better have a plan because it can't be, oh, well, this guy's distracted because he's going to get this job. Oh, next year, if that was a distraction, you wouldn't win any titles because it's a distraction every year. So having that plan in place is something that he's got in mind that maybe others don't deal with because others don't have to because not many lose as many coaches as he does, and he's in the playoffs every year. So if you're in the playoffs every year and you lose multiple coaches every year, you better darn well have a plan to deal with that to where it's not a distraction because that's not an excuse, never will be. And, you know, I think they've kind of shown that they can deal with that better than anybody else can.
It's Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I'm Ryan Fowler. This is Alabama Tradition. We will wrap up the loose ends next right here on Tide 100.9.
Snow flurries ending, the sky becoming partially sunny this afternoon. The high today only at 31. For tonight, cold again, mostly fair with a low at 18. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy. Rain moves in here tomorrow night, the high 48. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9.
The host of the game, Ryan Fowler, and the host of the Martin Houston Show, Martin Houston, have combined to offer a show filled with in-depth analysis of Alabama football and more. Alabama Tradition broadcasts live on Tide 100.9 every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. and is available live and on playback on numerous affiliates around the Southeast. Check out alabamatradition.com for a list of affiliates, as well as other great content.
Sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine what it'd be like when summer does come.
James Ludeman playing the music behind the scenes. He'll also be leading you through the next 3 hours right here on Tide 100.9. They'll be talking a lot of football, a lot of basketball, a lot of conversation. We'll be back tomorrow from 2 until 6, and Chris Landry will join me at 4. Chris, a little bit of a tease. I was seeing where the coaches are meeting and these coaches' associations are meeting, and one of the things that was on the table about faking injuries in the game and how much they kind of want to change that. I'm not sure how you govern that, but that may be something we dive a little deeper into tomorrow. Alex Scarborough, ESPN, had the article that it looks like it was a unanimous vote to kind of move it to that next committee. Faking injuries within a football game when people are trying to go up-tempo.
Yeah, up-tempo, you know, people kind of looking at that. I think you have to look at a number of different things. Guy is an injury. Maybe he's got to sit out for a longer period than just one play, a series, a quarter. I mean, it's one way to stop it. Although in the latter part of the game where you get tired, you might sacrifice a guy that wasn't going to play a lot. It's tough. It's tough because, you know, you do that. I think there's some that's pretty obvious that we see, but I think there are ways that they need to look at it and say, hey, look, you injured. You can't say you're not injured. Injured, well, then you know you're out. You're out the rest of the game. You know, I mean, I think, or you're out a quarter. I mean, I think they need to look at all options because I think it's real. It definitely happens.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to dive into that and kind of explore and the rule changes this offseason. There are so many things that coaches, I'm sure, have an opinion on. The transfer portal, they have not finalized that within the conference and exactly when that will take place. I mean, Nick Saban addressed it last week. He said there's no way to manage your roster.
It's a mess. It's a mess. It's unintended consequences. They come up with this idea. We don't want to pay the players. We'll let them free and move. And then they don't realize that we've got about 800, 900 players that have no way to go. They are going to transfer and nowhere to transfer to. And yet somehow they think that's a good idea. It's a mess. It really is a mess. I'm okay for players being able to transfer, Ryan, but you have to have some guardrails or we're going to have this disaster that we have right now.
And those are the things that we get into. LandryFootball.com, LandryFootball.com. You can find Chris Landry on the Twitter side of things, Facebook, connect with LandryFootball.com, LandryFootball.com. Chris, we'll talk again tomorrow at 4:00, man. Stay warm for the next few hours, and we'll talk some more football, man. This has been another fast-hitting hour right here on Alabama Tradition.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Talk tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
And we talk a lot about Alabama, but Chris covers the NFL. He covers other college teams. If you're out there and you're listening, you can find it LandryFootball.com, LandryFootball.com. Big thanks to James Ludeman and all those guys behind the scenes. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Remember, James Ludeman takes you the rest of the way. 7 until 10, Title Talk right here. I remind you that we call this program The Game, and the only way that you win the big game, the game of life, is to walk daily with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus gets a shout-out regardless of the show. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Tide 100.9.
I've started talking to the pictures on the walls. Hang in there, Joan. It gets a little lonely.